Welcome back to The Variety Show, and on today's little ramble, we are going to be talking about the high streets. And you know what I mean by the high street. I am talking about shops, physical shops that you can walk into and buy goods. And let's face it, the high street is in crisis. It is not the high streets of the 80s and the 90s that we all grew up with. Physical shops are disappearing, and let's face it, we are plagued by hospitality. Now, it's obviously very nice to have somewhere to go and buy some chicken, have a coffee, bit of cake, but how many Nando's, how many coffee shops, how many McDonald's do we really need? And that's the problem, isn't it? We aren't really buying things on the high street anymore. Everything is bought online. So today's ramble, I'm just going to walk up St Albans and take you to a few of the shops that I used to go to, tell you what they are and tell you what they used to be, and hopefully share some fond memories. So the first business I'm stood at is The White Stuff. Basically, it looks like a clothes shop. Now, it's a double front shop, and it's based on the marketplace in St Albans. What did it used to be? Well, during my youth, and actually up to the early and mid-teens, it was Dixon's. And I spent many, many, many hours wandering in and out of there. And actually, it's where I got my hands on the first bits of tech I ever really played with. I remember being at college and buying a compact iPack handheld organizer running Windows CE. Absolutely brilliant device, had a lot of fun with that. I bought, and this is when Dixon's was starting to close down, they were having a sale of all the old stock that they'd found in their stock rooms. I bought two PS1s, so not PlayStation 1s, but the little white, I think they advertised them as the size of a bag of Walker's crisps. Two of those, bundled with Spyro, they cost me £10 each. That gives you an idea of how much money they were just getting rid of these things for. Now, imagine buying one of those today, even secondhand on eBay. You're not going to get it for a tenner. So Dixon's, I used to love. I used to come up here on a Saturday when my parents were running the shop. I'd go up there, I'd have a look through the shelves of the computer games and imagine what they would like to play, because we didn't have a PC at that time. I'd have a look at the mobile phones, I'd have a look at the computers and the laptops, and these things were, again, all these things were out of my league. I was never going to afford them, but it gave me a chance to get my hands on them. I think the worst thing I did, and I will say it's my worst thing, and it was a very stupid thing to do. At the age of 16, I went into Dixon's and I signed up for a mobile phone contract saying I was 18 with Orange. Got myself into a lot of debt, and I still don't quite know what happened about that debt. It just disappeared. I don't know if they realized I'd lied about my age and realized they couldn't claim on it. Really not sure. But yeah, Dixon's, as much as I loved it, I did do that stupid thing in there. It was also the place that we got our first copy of Grand Theft Auto for the PC. It was hidden behind several boxed games at the time. And that was just around the time that we had the news saying it was going to be banned. It's a terrible game. It's an evil game. So I'm guessing someone hid it so they could go back for it later. Well, they missed out. We picked it up. And that's a whole other story. And you can read about that on our webpage, channel84.co.uk. where you can find that story about my first experience with GTA and why GTA 1 and 2 are still my favourite. Let's move on to the next shop, because the next shop is what probably spurned this idea for this little ramble. So like I said, this little ramble really came to my mind when I saw in the newspapers the other day, WH Smith is disappearing off the high street. And this is one of the few shops that in St Albans have existed since I was young, and it's not changed. I'm just stood here now looking at it, and since my youth, the shop front hasn't changed. It's one of the few WH Smiths that they didn't change the building. They didn't put up the giant blue signs. They didn't modernize it. It is the traditional building as it was when WH Smiths first opened in St Albans. It's a beautiful building. And as much as a train wreck as WH Smith is now, let's face it, you go to an airport, you pay £3 to £4 for a bottle of Coke, £5 for an energy drink. It's just a joke, isn't it? And to be fair, Smith has become that joke. Even on the high street now, you walk in, the books are overpriced, chocolate drinks are overpriced. What do you even buy in there anymore? I couldn't even tell you the last time I went into a Smith's to buy something unless I was at the airport. So I can kind of see why it's disappearing. They just no longer needed. Now, when I was growing up, this was one of the few places you could buy games on cassette. I bought ZX Spectrum games from here before. And then when that era disappeared, I used to come down here. I used to buy the Calvin and Hobbes comic books. I got a good couple of the annuals from there, and they were absolutely brilliant value. But I think the biggest memory for me was turning 12 and coming here with my birthday money and buying two VHS. I bought the X-Files video number one, which was called The Unopened File, and you'll recognize it if you were in the UK. It was the purple covered one. And then I bought a second video, which was the X-Files second video, which was Tombs. And I can't think of the name. I think it was just called Squeeze and Tombs with the episodes. And it was a greeny yellow cover. And yeah, I remember buying those and I thought, wow, they are. I loved the X-Files at that time anyway, but to be able to buy these VHS and going in there and being ever so nervous that they were going to, well, not ID me, but they weren't going to sell me these 12 rated videos because I'd only just turned 12. But that's the sort of thing we used to go to Smith's for. I used to actually go in there and buy stationery. But now, everything's just overpriced. It's just, it's declined in such a way it will not support itself. And I don't blame people for not shopping there. It's not as bad as Ryman's, let's face it. Ryman's will always be pricey. But yeah, it's sad to say that Smith's is going. I've got very fond memories of buying games there, but that is it. Smith's is gone. Now the next shop is just a little walk. So actually, I'm just gonna have a quick walk and I'll restart in a moment. Right, we're outside of Crepe Affair in the marketplace. Now, I've been talking for 5 minutes already about the shop that was already there. But two girls who just came out of one of the local pubs, absolutely off their faces, decided it was funny to run and kick all the sandwich boards of businesses that are out here. So there's now three sandwich boards with big dents in them. There's now cardboard across the path because they're pissed and think it's funny to record themselves doing it. People wonder why no one likes their generation. It's because they're cunts. Anyway, Crepe Affair. It's on the corner, just as we come in Spencer Street and St. Peter Street, and it used to be Our Price. We in Tenables, for some reason, we were honoured. We had 2 Our Prices, but by far we did not need 2 Our Prices. So much so that when I started working there, 6 months later, they said, we're closing one, and it was our one that got closed, not the one in the Maltings. Now, Our Price was a brilliant place. It had good cost, good value albums, it had singles, it had videos, it had all sorts, and I picked up all sorts there, loads of videos over my time. But the best thing was when you were working there, like I did, it was a great atmosphere. We used to play Rammstein and Metallica, and to be fair, thinking about it now, that could explain why our store was chosen to be closed, because people would walk in and walk back out and go to the one in the Maltings. That to one side, one of the best parts about working at Our Price was that you could order from the back catalogue. So you could jump on the computer, you could type in anything you wanted, and if you could find the album on that catalogue, you could order it and it would be a couple of days. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Of course, it's one of those businesses that's gone now. Very, very fond memories of seeing the old black bags with the red vinyl logo and Our Price on it. In fact, it was the first time I heard Green Day. I bought it as a probably 11-year-old on cassette, 12-year-old maybe. I got it for cheap, went and listened to it with my friend Michael Gowan. That's a whole nother story. I'm pretty sure I've written about that on the webpage as well. We weren't sure if we were meant to be listening to it, so it kind of got squirreled away, and it was a few more years until I really discovered what a good album it was. But no, it is now one of the many, many eateries of St. Albans. It's been a fair few things in its past. Crepe Affair's the latest. It's lasted quite a while. Before that, it was Phones For You, I think. So yeah, from Our Price, it was empty. And then a couple of years after that, it became Phones For You, another brand you don't hear about anymore. And now it's food. Now, the next shop is only gonna get a really brief mention because let's face it, it's still on the high street, but that's gonna be Boots. Like Smith's, I have no idea how Boots, the pharmacy, optician's, beauty shop, whatever you want to call it, carries on surviving. Not only is it overpriced on the most part, it doesn't sell half the things it used to. Like Smith's, you used to be able to buy computers, computer games, all sorts, cameras, you name it. Now it is overpriced beauty stuff, holiday stuff. I think Mothercare have moved inside there, and again, overpriced. When Mothercare used to be a nice cheap brand, it's now got a price tag attached to it. It's just not the shop that we remember. Boots was the place I got a lot of our specky games. Now, there's one other computer shop we will talk about, and we'll get to that one later when we get to the Maltings. But for now, we used to go upstairs, and again, on a Saturday, I'd come up here on the day that we were at the shop, and the first thing you'd do is you'd go straight to the Mega Drive or the SNES demo unit and see if the controllers were connected. Now, if you got in early enough on a Saturday, you might get 5 minutes, 10 minutes of playing either Mario All-Stars or Sonic 1 or Sonic 2, I would have thought. But then often the boot staff would come along and go, "Oh God, bloody kids, fuck off." Not in so many words, obviously. And they'd pull the plug and that was it. But you'd normally got a try. And yeah, even before that, they used to have shelving full of cassette games, Commodore, Amstrad, Spectrum. And that's where you would get your games in town. It was before Game, Game Station, Electronics Boutique. None of these places existed in St. Albans. So this was what we had. The only other memory I've got of Boots, funnily enough, is not saving a woman's life, but, and it still does to this day, have an escalator that goes up, but stairs that come down. And I would have been 13 or 14. I used to do St. John Ambulance Cadets. I think I was still doing it, or it had just disbanded at that point. And I was coming down the stairs and an old woman in front of me slipped over, fell backwards and cracked the back of her head open. And if you've ever cut the back of your head, you'll know it bleeds like a bastard. Lots of blood vessels. Anyway, put my first aid training into hand. Worked out really well. She got in an ambulance. Wonderful. Boot staff came over. "No, thank you. I'm covered in blood. My jeans were ruined at this point. No, thank you," or anything like that. What I got was, "Can we have your name in case she sues us?" "No. Can you come with us? We'll let you wash your hands and stuff." No, no. I had to walk back to the shop covered in blood, looking like I'd murdered someone. Thanks, Boots. But there you go. That's the memory. If you weren't at the last digitizer, have a look on YouTube. I'll post the link inside the content of this podcast, and you'll see I took part in the not Sega 32X Factor or whatever it was called, where I talk about Monty on the Run. That is where this came from. Not a good memory, not a bad memory. Mediocre. Now, this is a really difficult one. I'm pretty sure I'm stood outside the right one. So I'm now on St. Peter Street, which is just up from Marketplace. And I'm stood in front of Itsu, Eat Beautiful. One of, again, many, in fact, look, I can tell you now, in a row, so from the beginning of this block of buildings, there is Five Guys, Marks and Spencer's, Itsu, Pret, Costa, Vision Express, Tesco. So that is, out of those businesses, four of them are food. It's just getting ridiculous. But there, anyway, that's not what I'm talking about. So I'm outside of Itsu, and the reason I'm saying I'm confused about this one, I can't tell if it was Pret or Itsu. I'm pretty sure it was the building for Itsu. That was HMV. Now, we all know about HMV. It still exists in this weird bastardized way, not what it used to be. I don't have that many fond memories of HMV. What it was in St. Albans before it was HMV was Martin's the newsagent. Again, not many fond memories of that, except for being young, and the magazines used to be at the far left-hand corner. So you walked in through the door, and I remember walking all the way to the back and getting my first look at Jazz Mags. Yeah, there you go. I did that. I looked at the top shelf and thought, wow, there's naked women. It was also the first shop that I bought, if any of you remember this, Virgin Cola, the Pammy, the bottle that was designed to look like Pamela Anderson's body. I quite miss Virgin Cola. I used to like it. Anyway, let's move on to the next set of shops. We're going to be walking past a Tesco Express. Now, Actually, no, I do need to talk about that building. So it's Tesco Express at the moment, and I'll just keep walking and talking, I guess. This used to be Woolworths. Oh, how I miss Woolworths. It was one of the best jobs I had. 16 years old, straight out of secondary school. In fact, I think I was 15 going on 16. I'd just finished working at the garden centre. I went for an interview and it turned out my best friend, who had also worked with me at the garden centre, had also got an interview at Woolworths at exactly the same time. And we both got the job. And Woolworths was, for those of you that don't know, and I find it hard to believe that any of you don't know about Woolworths, it was a shop that sold everything you could want. Toys, sweets, kitchen stuff, homeware, you name it, Woolworths sold it. Music, videos, PC games, even up to, I guess, the N64 and newer PlayStation 2, I guess, was there. Yes, it was. I'll tell you about that in a moment. But it was just one of those wonderful, wonderful businesses that, again, we didn't support enough. And that was probably really when we started seeing the proper downturn in the high street. Businesses like Woolworths shutting down when really they should have been the most popular that they could have been. I know Wilkinson's had turned up at the time and we had a couple of other businesses starting to arrive, but really Woolworths was one of those businesses that should have survived. Now, I worked there from the age of 16 to 17. Then I went to Our Price, like I said earlier, and I did two jobs. I did a straight after school job. So I used to come home, have dinner, get there for 6 p.m. when the doors closed, and we would be restocking the shelves. And I ended up working in the kitchen area. So my job was to follow the little maps that they used to print out, just like all supermarkets, and laying out all the stock. When really, we fucked about. We used to have loads of the kitchen boxes that were like knives, forks, cutlery, all that sort of stuff. They'd break open and there were big boxes up in the stock room and we'd use them like throwing knives. Who could get the best shot from the furthest distance? There used to be a big box of kind of bean bags in the back corner of one of the stock rooms where you could kind of go and hide and just chill out in it. They weren't bad nights. And you used to finish by about 9 p.m. and me and Richard would walk home together. Lots of fun listening to Metallica and nicking CDs, copying them and bringing them back and no one noticing. Then I would work on a Saturday or a Sunday, and they were the best of days because I got to work on the entertainment till, and that was the till nearest kind of the front, the left. On the right was all the sweets. Poor old Richard ended up having to work with a worker called Lillian, who would walk around in sandals and had the mankiest feet known to man. She was a very grumpy old lady. She hated everyone. So did Barbara. Barbara hated everyone too, but she was much nicer than Lillian. Richard didn't last long. He had to work under Lillian. She was horrible. It was understandable. Entertainment till, however, was great fun. Having to find the CDs that had just come out, find the free posters people used to get with them. Lots and lots and lots of fun. Getting to see all the new games coming out and getting the chance to buy them first. Or, oh, I miss Woolworths. It hurt when Kay said to me, "What's Woolworths?" It's one of those things that you don't ever think you're going to hear, and then suddenly, boom, it kicks you right in the teeth, and you think, shit, my child is never going to know the joy of going in there with their pocket money on a Saturday, buying some penny sweets, buying some drinks, those mini Coke cans or mini Fanta cans, you know the ones, or the Mr. Blobby pink lemonade, and then going for an explore with your newfound treats. Very sad times when Woolworths disappeared. Shockingly, the next business I wanted to talk about is Tesco. Now, I know Tesco exists, and in fact, I even said I was just stood outside of Tesco that used to be Woolworths. Well, Tesco disappeared from St Albans for a long time. It's one of those businesses that closed shop, we didn't need one, suddenly we needed one, it reopened. Now, I'm stood in front of a building site. There is no building here anymore. What used to be here was a Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Burger King. But before them, it was Tesco. And our Tesco in St Albans had quite an interesting history behind it. It was the first Tesco in the UK to offer not just food. So we all know Tesco's now as these super giant kind of warehouses that have food, clothing, toys, well, not videos anymore, they seem to have stopped that, but it has a whole range of homeware, entertainment, clothing, and food. Well, the St. Albans Tesco was the very first Tesco to actually do that. And what you had was the bottom floor was all food. You then went up an escalator and you ended up upstairs, and it went across to the building to its right. So it didn't actually go across its own building. On the left-hand side, it did. That was all clothing. But you stepped onto the building next door to them, so they're upstairs, and that was where you had toys and homeware. And it was very different. It's just, it was the basis of what we now expect of Tesco, and we had it first. Talking about memories of it, one summer, really hot, as you can imagine, or my mind said it was really hot. We got taken there and they had something called Spitballs. I think they're made by the same company that made Madballs. And these were, there were a two pack. It was a sunny smile sort of thing with blue glasses, sunglasses, and a skull. And what they were about maybe 5 centimeters diameter, rubber, nicely painted. And what you did is dunked them in a bowl or a bucket of water, squeeze them and they'd fill up with water and you'd use them as water pistols. Pretty sure they were called Spitballs. We got those, we got to take them back to the shop garden and we got very wet in the sun. Great way to spend a couple of hours. And we got them from there. Must have a look on eBay and see if I can find those, because really, really did enjoy playing with those as a kid. And I wonder if they're one of these many, many toys that I got rid of in the past that I regret, because they now cost huge sums of money for ones that don't even look in good nick. Anyway, I'm not going to go any further up St. Peter Street, because really the only other option is Metro Bank, which used to be the McDonald's. Great McDonald's. It was a very, very 80s, 90s one. You really kind of walked in there and you could almost say to yourself, I can still smell the smoke in here. They still had the tables with the ashtrays built in. The only thing that was novel about our McDonald's was it had a soft play area in it, right at the back, always smelled of farts. And the number of times me and Michael Gow got bored, go and got a burger, and then played in the soft play area until we were kicked out by the staff being told, you're too old, get out. It was a way to spend the time, I guess. Anyway, I'm going to walk off to the Maltings now, where we're going to talk about a handful of other businesses. And hopefully avoid the drunk people, because they're getting on my tits. Now, before I get to the Maltings, I forgot that I would have to come via Chequer Street first. So those of you that are following on Google Maps or Apple Maps or Waze or whatever you want to use, I'm on Chequer Street now, and I'm just coming up to the entrance of the Maltings, which is opposite Ryman's and Nando's. Now, I'm pretty sure the first business I'm going to come to is now current. Yes, it is. It's currently Fat Face, another clothes shop. One that I don't think I've ever shopped in. I'm sure they do nice clothes, but I've never felt the need to go in a shop called Fat Face. This used to be All Sports on the right, and then on the left used to be Riders Toys. It was a weird double shop. Now, I don't know if the owner of All Sports, and it was a franchise, also owned Riders, but basically, when you walked into Riders, which was on the left of the shop, you'd walk in, and then the first thing you came to after the till was a right-hand little hole in the wall, and that meant you could walk into All Sports, which you could have done through the front door. But if you walked all the way to the back of Riders, all the way to the back of the toy shop, there were jigsaws and model kits and another hole in the wall, which would take you to the back of the All Sports shop. So I don't know if the two shops were owned by the same person, which is why they ran them together and left the holes there. It was just one of those weird things. Now, Riders was a bloody great toy shop. It had every toy you could imagine, from Barbies and Action Man, Sky Electrics, Playmobil, Lego, board games, everything. It was just one of those places I spent hours and hours in, choosing birthday presents, Christmas presents. It was the go-to place for when I was invited to a birthday party of another child at school. It was a really, really just shop of my youth, this one. And really, Riders was the best toy shop around. It really trumped most of the businesses toy shops that tried to be a toy shop in St Albans. Definitely beat the piss out of Woolworths. As much as I enjoyed the Chad Valley toys they sold, Riders was the place to be. And you could get anything. The only thing I remember you couldn't get was water pistols. And there was one year, I think it must have been 13 or 14 at secondary school, our friend Tom Cridland chose to have a water fight birthday party. Middle of summer, really hot, all met down Cherry Hill Park, and I went with water bombs in the end because we could not find that year a super soaker, is what I really wanted. We could just not find a water pistol that was any good. Not even Riders, possibly the best toy shop I ever knew, could sort me out. Now, I bought plenty in there over the years. A lot of Playmobil, a lot of the Lego kits, and you'll remember the specific ones that kids bought with pocket money. They always used to be about £1.50, £2. Came in a really small box, maybe 6 centimetres, 7 centimetres tall. And the beautiful thing about those kits were you could build the item that was on the box, but then the instructions also gave you alternate instructions to make two or three other things from the same kit. I don't get that sort of value from Lego anymore. And in fact, the more Lego I see that Kay gets, it's much more customized parts that are just never going to get used anywhere else. It's almost like Lego's just become this, we are going to make kids less imaginative even by taking away their options. Maybe I'm wrong, I don't know. Moving down, the next shop we're going to look at is literally a few steps away, so I'll be back in a moment. So this is the only food place I think that I'm going to talk about. So the current shop there is Terzetzo Stone and Porcelain. I have no knowledge about them. I know what they sell based on their name, but really nothing to do with me. The shop it used to be was Poppins. It was a restaurant. It was very cheap. It was much more cafe restaurant than restaurant, if you know what I mean. Greasy spoon, if you will. And there were many times that we ate there. Often it used to be just after Christmas. In fact, just before New Year's normally, Dad would close up the shop. It'd be nice and dark outside, and it was always an exciting time when we got to go out in the dark. And we'd walk up from the shop, and we'd take my aunt as well, because she lives at the shop, and we'd go to Poppins for the yearly James of St. Albans business dinner. And we'd all get to go and have a nice dinner before going home. And it was just one of those traditions that I've got very, very fond memories of. And the kids' menu, obviously, those of you that don't know what Poppins was, look it up. You can still see, I think there are still some Poppins to this day. It's about to get very loud because there's a very, very loud lorry coming up here, but it looks like they're turning away, which is good. You'll be able to find the menus, and they had a kids menu, and what you chose was the character. So there was the smuggler, the pirate, the spaceman, the cowboy, and all of these represented different meals. One of them was like, I think this, what was it? The smuggler might have been the burger meal. Then there was Banger Man or something, which was basically a sausage, which was sausage and beans. And they just did good, cheap food. It was very enjoyable, nothing special. Just very fond memories of going there with the family for the business dinner. Right, let's go back to the Maltings, where we'll talk about Software Plus next. Now, as you'll hear, the alarm is going off around here, so I'm not going to stand here for too long. What I'll do is I'll walk onto the next area, but I am stood outside Clipso. I'm guessing, is that a hairdresser? Yes, I think it's a hairdresser's. Right, so I'm stood outside Clipso, which is number 53 in the Maltings. It's in what's opposite their bandstand. One of the places I used to go to the most when it was open, called Software Plus. Had a big yellow signboard and a yellow square icon with, I'm trying to remember what it said, I'm pretty sure it was just a yellow signboard that said Software Plus. And that's the only real place in St Albans that you could buy proper computer games when Boots and Smith stopped selling their games. It did everything. It did everything from Speccy games, Amiga, Atari. you name it, it went through all the generations. And I will say, I think it was still in business around 97 when Diana died. So I remember walking up to town that day and everything being absolutely dead. Everything was closed. They were open, but I don't think they lasted much longer after that. So they would have got up to the N64, Sega Saturn, PlayStation, nothing really past that. And hopefully on the next Retro Ramble, or one of the next Retro Rambles, we're going to be hearing from my oldest friend Luke, who was Richard's little brother, who no doubt fill you in about Software Plus, because he's very bitter still to this day about what they said about the Sega Saturn. I think the only thing I really remember buying from there, and we did buy a lot, but right now I can't think, was we bought a cheetah joystick for the Speccy, plus the cartridge used to have shove in the back to give you Kempston joystick. As we only had the 48K, and I think it was the 48K Plus, which was the one in the toast rack design. But another business gone, and I've never heard of another one being anywhere else. Right, stood outside another business now, stood outside Pandora. Obviously a very popular business, and this obviously wasn't a popular business, even though I used to love it. It used to be the building for Tandy. And Tandy's one of those weird ones, isn't it? It's a bit like Maplin. You could go in, you could buy components, but they also sold all sorts of electrical goods. They sold remote control cars, they sold VCRs, they sold TVs, hi-fi systems, satellite tuners, CB radios. They really were kind of a one-stop shop for electronics. They didn't last long, of my youth anyway, before disappearing. I know they lasted a long time before that, but my memory of them's fairly short. There's a few things I do remember. One thing, my babysitter, who weirdly now is married to my brother, Sally, brought me here, and she bought me something called a Terminator. And it was a black plastic handheld toy, about the size of maybe a Nokia 3310, a little bit fatter, and it had three buttons. It had a giant speaker grill, and the three buttons were machine gun, grenade, and bomb, I think it was. So one went sort of horrible machine version of that. The grenade did a, and then the bomb just went. And I think they did do one called the Pocket Terminator, which was a much smaller keyring version, but I had the big version. It's a couple of AA batteries. I did buy one recently. I even did a dodgy picture of one to try and get the Nostalgia Nerd and Ashen to see if they could remember what it was. And it just so happened I managed to find one in the end on eBay, was very pleased with it. The other thing that I got from Tandy was for a birthday. I was still at primary school. Mum and Dad got me a remote control monster truck. It was two speed, you could set it to slow or fast. It took C cell batteries, and we got those blue and white Radio Shack rechargeable batteries. And those of you of a certain age will immediately know what they look like and will be able to picture them, a beautiful navy blue and kind of a creamy white writing. And the odd thing about the remote control car is one of those ones that had a cable on it. So it wasn't really wireless. You could control it by the remote, but it had maybe 2 meters of wire that led between the remote and the car. So I had a lot of fun with it. It was great fun. It would go up and downhill. It was the favorite thing for the time. I got it for one Christmas and just blown away by it. The only problem was the rechargeable batteries gave you about 5 or 10 minutes of driving, and then you had to wait several hours for them to recharge. Fun fact, we found those batteries the other day at Mum and Dad's. They still hold a charge to an extent. There you go. So that was Tandy. A lot of not so many memories there, but still a business that I miss because the amount of crap I would buy in there now. Coming to the end of my Maltings trip, and there's only a couple more businesses I'm going to bother visiting. I'm now stood out the front of TK Maxx. Now, TK Maxx, big clothing shop, as you probably know, took over a very, very large area of the Maltings, probably the largest area that you could buy, or lease that is, as a single unit. I've bought a fair bit in TK Maxx. I've had a few nice shirts. I've had a couple of nice coats from there. But my God, is it not a mark on what it used to be? So what it used to be was something called the in shops. I got bored. So I've been bored several times over the past few years. And I've laid back, closed my eyes, and I've tried to map out in my head exactly where all the shops were. And the in-shops were an indoor market of sorts. So lots and lots of little units that businesses would pop up or close fairly rapidly quite often. And then you had a handful of businesses in there that survived really well. And there was a food court in there. So I think you had a jacket potato business, you had a Chinese in there, you had a proper greasy spoon in there. And then there were several businesses that were brilliant. You had eventually a computer game. So once Software Plus disappeared, we got a computer game shop up there, and they were really reasonable on secondhand game pricing. They did sell new games, but their main business was selling the secondhand ones. So we had things like Mega Drive games for a couple of quid. PlayStation 1 games actually were really well priced as well. And I bought Disruptor, which turned out to be a really good first-person shooter from them. They knew me as Cheat because I used to learn all of those toilet paper books that you got when from Games Master. And I'd be able to kind of ream off the cheats from them for the popular games. So that's kind of the nickname I ended up with that. There was a Chaos City Comics, which is still a business going to this day. They're hidden away now in Heritage Close, but they're still going. But they started in the in-shops. And I used to buy X-File cards from them, blind bag ones. And you used to get, six or eight cards, I think. And again, they were only, I think, £1 or £1.50 a pack. And I had hundreds of the bloody things. Didn't really know what to do with them. I just wanted them. I think I ended up blue-tacking them to my door in a giant kind of matrix of pictures from all the different kind of show aspects. There was an army surplus store in there, but I think the one store, the place that we probably did the most was the first ever soft play I ever came across, which was called Rough and Tumble. And it took up the whole front of the building, and it had a drop slide in it, had ball pits, it had two stories, kind of a little zip line bit in it. It was absolutely brilliant. And as a kid, you could spend your couple of quid and go in there for an hour, and you were loving life. There was a little news agent in there, so you could go and get cheap sweets and stuff like that. And really fond memories of the in shops. And unfortunately, due to poor management, they went out of business across the UK, and ours were one of the last ones to shut down, I believe. And we end up instead with just one big shop now of TK Maxx, which, compared to all the businesses, just it's not the same at all. Nowhere near the enjoyment from this one shop that all of those shops had. Now, there's two things I've excluded from this. Number one, the best memories I have was whenever there was an empty unit, they would put arcade machines in. And we had things like the Sega Title Fight, which was a boxing game that you had two controllers that you held in both hands and you used it like a boxing machine. You had, they had one point, they had an entire two or three unit stretch which they filled full of arcade games. And there was everything there. They even had the Sega one that didn't quite go full 360, but did tilt you forward, backwards, left and right. It was absolutely fantastic. The only other thing that we'll talk about with the Maltings is the car park. And I'll talk about it in a moment when these people have fucked off. Right, well, that lovely lot have fucked off, drunk as anything. Anyway, at the end of the Maltings, so what used to be next to what was Safeway, which is now Wilkinson's, which is closed and reopened again, is where the car park is. And that takes you up to the top floor, which is just the car park. The floor below it, which is the public library and entrance to TK Maxx, or what used to be the entrance to the in shops. Then there was another floor, which was just car park. And then finally down to this floor, which was car park as well. What was interesting though was it also went down a further three floors basement wise. So in total you had one, two, three, four, five, six, seven floors, all connected by one staircase, three sets of lifts, What did we used to do? This was a me and Michael Gow thing again. We used to come to the in shops and we would play tag. So one of us would start at the bottom, the other one would start at the top, and whoever was it had to catch the other person. And we would make use of the lifts, the stairs, anything we could to kind of get past each other. And you'd be surprised at how long we used to do that before we'd end up at Woolworths buying sweets from Lillian, the dreaded woman. A lot of fun until you get stuck in the lift, the doors open about an inch, and everyone just tells you to stop fucking about. And if you really are stuck, press the alarm bell. And that really did scare me when that happened. It wasn't Michael's fault, it wasn't our fault. The lift just got stuck. It was horrible. And I just remember saying, I'm fine, getting back to the shop and just bursting into tears. And the only other bad memory of this place, and I shouldn't talk about the bad memories because it's the nice, happy memories that we like. It was me and Michael walking around and this group of two or three teenagers started following us. So we went up to a security guard and said, oh, these guys are following us, they won't leave us alone. And these shitbags had the nerve to say, they've stolen our wallet, demand they give us our wallet back. And the security guard just, he wasn't taking any shit. He said, I don't believe you, fuck off. And then looked at me and Michael and just told us to piss off as well. So, oh, okay. I mean, we didn't have any problem with those kids. They just disappeared, but they were just chancing their luck. But the security guard didn't care either way about any of us. He just wanted us all to go. Anyway, two more places and then I better go home because I'm on earlies. I will be back in a moment with our penultimate old shop. Right, I'm just walking towards the last business and I'm just laughing to myself, walking down this set of stairs, and it's really, really still really based in the 80s and 90s. The lighting they've got is these black poles with what look like Belisha beacon lights on top, just white ones rather than yellow. And it's just the lighting of it, the style of it, the style of the brickwork. It just absolutely screams 90s, which is when the Maltings really kind of got built and went into fashion. But we're just walking down, and we're walking down to what's called London Road now. So we've come out of the Maltings. I've come through the kind of back end of it, which you could come out of the side towards where their kind of loading yard is for shop deliveries. And we come to London Road. And on London Road, we now have a Co-op. And the Co-op wasn't always the Co-op. It was Blockbuster Video for a long, long, long time. And we were never allowed it. We had a video rental at our local newsagent called Ramesh. He was amazing. We got a lot of video rentals from him. And when he stopped doing them, they went to Threshers, which was next door, which was a booze merchant, if any of you remember them. And then ended up back at Ramesh, and then they both stopped doing it full stop. Blockbusters was the place to go if your parents let you. Great range of videos. It was videos at that point, wasn't DVDs. It was videos in my time. DVDs eventually did turn up there. And the biggest thing for me was, I don't think I should tell you all of this. Yet another place that I had a membership for took a film out and then never took it back and got banned from having a membership there because I had such a big bill. That's not what we're talking about, though. What Blockbuster had in St. Albans eventually was a game station. So they had a big section dedicated to game station, the new business on the block that sold all the current gen games, but also sold all of the second-hand games that Blockbuster had rented and were no longer renting. And you could get consoles, you could get second-hand peripherals, all sorts in there. Now, that might not sound very exciting to you, but when you consider between the age of 15 and 18, when I was buying games there, I was working. So often, if I wanted to pick something up, I would have to wait till the weekend or if I had a day off. Blockbusters stayed open till 10 or 10:30 at night here, which meant Game Station stayed open till that time because it was just run by the same counter. It was the same staff managing it. So that meant I could finish work, have dinner, pick up a friend in the car or their car, walk up here even, and buy a game at a time of night where everything else in town was closed. that was a big thing for me, because that meant we could come, we could buy new console games, we could buy a console if we wanted, when normally we couldn't. And we bought a lot of games from there, a lot of secondhand games. I mean, before GameStation even existed in there, I used to buy a lot of the old X-Rental games, and one of the ones I remember buying was Theme Park on SNES. I think it was a couple of quid, unboxed, and I bought that for Richard's little brother, Luke, because just around that time, Roller Coaster Tycoon had appeared on PC. Me and Richard were playing it heavily. Us being dickhead teenagers didn't really want Luke about at the time, so we gave him that to tide him over. Obviously, nowhere near the quality of Roller Coaster Tycoon. Now, don't get me wrong, love Theme Park, one of my favourite games, but not the quality of Roller Coaster Tycoon. So eventually we did let him play, and I mean, Luke will tell you himself, it's one of the games that shaped him as a gamer as it is today. So lots of... I think Blockbuster, out of all the businesses that we've talked about tonight, is one that I wasn't surprised that disappeared, because no one was doing rentals anymore. They were quite expensive, if I remember rightly. Well, actually, maybe I should say that I was surprised, really, because streaming services didn't exist then. We just had videos, DVDs, and that was it, or the cinema. So, I mean, I guess streaming services were the last nail in the coffin of Blockbuster. I don't know what could have made them survive. I think that's the better way of saying, not that I wasn't surprised, because I think we were all surprised when any of the businesses I've talked about went under. But what could have Blockbuster done to stay afloat, other than being bought by someone like Netflix and providing streaming services by providing them just the discs instead, like Netflix used to do by post, remember? They were kind of a business that was lost to technology, which is a real shame. And now rumor has it they're opening one in London for 4 days to celebrate something or other. I don't know. Anyway, let's walk down to the very, very last business, and then I'm gonna fuck off home. Well, we're pretty much at the last building, so I might as well start talking about it now. Now, it's a lovely Art Deco building that closed a long, long, long time ago. And it was the St. Albans Odeon Cinema. Absolutely cracking place to go when you're a child. Tickets used to be cheap. It had a great pick and mix selection as you walked in through the front doors on the right. And it disappeared around the time that a lot of other cinemas opened in our area. We had... I can't remember if it was always View. I'm pretty sure it wasn't, and I don't know what brand it was, but Watford opened up a new leisure park, and they opened up a big cinema down there. And Hemel Hempstead opened what was called Jarman Park. We used to call it Hell, because it was a real shithole, but they opened up with a big cinema as well, and that was an Empire cinema. So St. Albans decided that they weren't going to be able to keep operating the Odeon and closed it. Now, in fact, I would go out as far to say that I think it was an Odeon that they opened in Watford before it changed hands. So St. Albans got stuck in the middle, and really was stuck in the middle. Hatfield at the Galleria had the Odeon, Watford had whatever cinema it was then, and then Hemel had one, and they were all within such a short distance of each other. So they closed down the Odeon, and it stood derelict for years. And oh, I saw all sorts of films here. I saw The Three Musketeers, I saw 101 Dalmatians. My poor brother Roland was forced to send me to see Star Trek Generations. I probably should apologise to him about that at some point, because it is one of the stinkers of Star Trek films as it goes. I have a little soft spot for it, but it isn't a brilliant film. Now, very sadly, it fell into disrepair. Building chunks started falling off, and they were going to discuss demolishing it. Thankfully, they did a crowdfunding for it, and there's a company in... Oh, I can't think of where it is now. Just out past Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted, that's it. and they opened up their old cinema as a cinema called The Rex. And it's one of these cinemas that you go, and it's not just a cinema, but you can also have food brought to your table, you have drinks brought to you, kind of a dine and watch a film sort of scenario. So they did a crowdfunding and they got enough money, and The Odeon is now The Odyssey, and I'm still yet to see a film in there, but I really must, because the memories of going in that cinema, going downstairs and watching a film on one of the two screens, really, really linger with me. Now, me and Michael Gow, yes, Michael yet again, must have seen Jurassic Park there at least three times. At least. And I mean, I remember going around his house one, it would have been his birthday, which was just gone, funny enough, I think. His sister made us marzipan and icing letters. So I had a tea, he had an M. And then she did a Jurassic Park quiz. We had a sleepover, that was it. And she did a Jurassic Park quiz. And I've got to say, my knowledge was not as good as Michael, because he absolutely destroyed me. And yeah, we saw that. Me and him saw Congo. And that must have been one of the last films I saw at the Odeon before it shut down. And this was all while I was at primary school. In fact, I'm still not quite sure how we saw Congo, because I could have sworn Congo was a 12 and we saw that while we were still at primary school. So not entirely sure what happened there. But I think still, and I'm sure I've shared the story before, my favourite story would have been, we were watching Jurassic Park and there used to be a Pepsi machine downstairs, and it was lodged between the two doors, or not lodged, but it was placed between the two doors of the screens downstairs. And I went in and I put my, and it was the big old 50p styles at that point, I put my big 50p in the machine, out rolled a can of Pepsi, out came the 50p again. I thought, wow, that's lucky, let's get another can. And I think I ended up walking away with five cans of Pepsi before that 50p was actually swallowed by the machine. So I'll always, funnily enough, remember. I don't know why, it's not even that great a memory, but watching Jurassic Park, I mean, we watched it so many times to get, so I saw it with my family, I saw it with Michael several times. We got to the point that we used to talk about it in junior school, swearing that we could say exactly where certain hidden cameras were that were capturing other, and of course, knowing how films were made, now there were no hidden cameras. Takes are done, they then rewind and set the set back up, and then they record the same scene from a different angle with a different camera. They don't just record it all from multi-cams. And oh dear, the things we used to say, we just insist that we knew where all the cameras were and we could see them because we'd seen it so much. I'm glad it's a cinema again, because the town really needed one. It was sad seeing this big Art Deco, beautiful building that used to be white with big blue and red colouring around it, just dropping to bits. Anyway, I think that's enough talking about old buildings and old shops, all for a bonus episode that, let's face it, probably not many of you are going to listen to. But if you did, tell me what businesses on your high street you used to love. I mean, I haven't even mentioned some of the little privately owned businesses that didn't end up anywhere. Things like Over the Moon we had, or, I mean, I'm sure lots of people had a Past Times, but we had a Past Times, and all the sort of shops like Grasshopper. God, we had a Grasshopper where you could buy pretend drugs that were just Tic Tacs, or buy bongs, or a whole variety of hempware. Send me what shops you remember, your memories of the high street when the high street was still strong and not the failing, miserable place that it's slowly becoming. Take it easy all, and talk to you soon. Good night.